Oh, right on the draw too, son. That's grimy too.
I would describe it as grimy.
It's got some grime to it. A little dirt on it. Dirt on your boots, this stupid country song is stuck in my head. Oh, man. My name is Bill, otherwise known as Easy Red, Tango November, or Prol. I can't decide because I have gamer identity issues right now. Who are you?
I am, have always been, and will always be the Safety Ninja.
Oh, those are...
And I'm tired. I spent my whole day today tearing my house apart, getting ready for baby. I have a baby. Well, I don't have a baby. My wife has a baby on the way. I mean, I participated.
But it's your baby.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but...
Sorry, I shouldn't have.
Oh, no, that's fine, because I need to remind myself that sometimes, too, because it doesn't feel real yet. Although, that's why I'm in, like, practically my pajamas today. Normally, I come here right after work, and I'm all, like, suit and tied up.
Yeah.
And then today, I was working in my basement, and I got in here. I looked at Curly, and I'm like... I feel a tad underdressed for this.
Got a little bit of scrub life going on.
Oh,
that's okay.
Yes.
Feel a tad underdressed. We are coming at you from the Devil's Bench, which is down on Colburn Street in Brantford, Ontario. If you're looking for a reason to come to Brantford, here it is. Soon I'm going to be running a urban manhunt in downtown Brantford. There's a reason to come to Brantford, right?
I guess so. And unless you're listening to this after that happened, and then, in which case, don't bother.
Yeah, that
too
would
late.
That would suck. Or, okay, if they're listening to it that far in the future, then come to Brantford for...
The next one.
The little sandwich shop that will never be. What's the name of our sandwich shop that will never be? Because I have a really good one in the bank.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this. You do yours first.
Brant County Provisions. And it can be like the subtext or something, Brant Provisions or something.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah,
well,
no.
It doesn't matter, Sue.
It's not going to open.
It will.
Okay, internet. We failed. Even with your jiu-jitsu coach threatening to strangle you,
yeah,
we didn't get you playing World of Warcraft.
So I played for a little bit. I played until I could tell him that I did, so he'd stop choking me.
So, so Sir Rumble, I'm going to call him if you're listening. I need you to change your choke target. And I need you to get Bill to open up a sandwich
shop
with me.
Don't tell him shit like that. He actually does it.
Well, that's what I'm telling him.
They all do. You know, Curly's paying them off with chocolate bars.
Good. I'm going to tell him to get...
If they come in here, he gives them Kit Kats and says, say this to Bill when you're choking him. I do jiu-jitsu, so I get choked twice a week by these savages down at this jiu-jitsu club in town.
I'm gonna start buying them pizza. Because that's twice as good as chocolate.
Fatten them up. I'll have a better chance. coming at you from the Devil's Bench, go find us online, thedevilsbench.com/Devil's Bench or /TheBenchCast on social media. If you are one of those unfortunate souls that still trust social media, we can...
Bill's going to hack your accounts.
We can save that conversation for another day because we tend to have that conversation quite a bit. First and foremost, I think there's some sort of... big to-do happening beside us this evening in the form of a Dungeons & Dragons campaign that is definitely loud and proud this evening. So if you don't like it, too bad. That's what it sounds like in here, and that's why we record in here. Our guest this evening from downtown as well, the Brantford Business Resource Center, a business consultant by the name of Sue Lovelace.
You wanted me to tell you.
Only if you're going to do the movie guy voice. If people want to introduce themselves, can we make that a rule?
Yeah.
Okay, new rule. If people want to introduce themselves on this podcast, they have to do it in movie guy voice.
I'm good with that.
Okay, cool. Sue, you are from the Brantford Business Resource Center, and the Brantford Business Resource Center does what?
Well, we help anyone looking for help in starting a business.
Okay.
We're basically a one-stop shop for people coming in with questions about starting. Maybe they're already existing and they're having some issues, or maybe they're looking for a grant to get started, because we have those as well.
I'll pay you with my grant money to open up a sandwich shop with me.
No, I can't be coaxed by money anymore. That's all it used to take. But Bill, we're going to get paid, son. We're going to get paid. I'd be like, I'm in. Do whatever you want. Sell computers out the back of a car. Done. No, here's what I have written down. One thing that we hear in here quite a bit, but I hear all over the place is it starts with like a dot dot dot, I have this idea, dot dot dot, I could totally do this, dot dot dot, you know, something I want to start a business.
Right.
And I'm sure that you probably hear that quite a bit.
I do. And sometimes people come in and they have amazing ideas. They've planned it out. They've been thinking about it for years. They've saved up some money. They've got all their ducks in a row and they're ready to go.
Yeah.
That's the number one client. The number two client is the one that has planned nothing, has no money in the bank.
That sounds like me.
has this wonderful idea, and their mom has told them it's awesome, but I have to tell them it's not.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, difficult for people. I don't want to crush their dreams, but I just have to tell them what my experience tells me, what works and what doesn't.
Sure.
Well, that's fair, because, I mean, that's the one problem is when you have, like, that little circle around you that tells you, but isn't being honest with you. They're telling you that you're great because they want you to feel good, but at the same time, you might be have a good time enjoying your hobby great, but not quit your day job and try to make a living out of this great, because that's real dangerous when you don't do a proper like self-accounting of either your skills or your abilities or your determination.
Yeah.
Just look at all the people on American Idol who get up there and sing because everyone told them they were amazing.
That's a perfect analogy, and I think it, like hand in hand with what you're saying, Sue, about like your mom says you're great kind of thing, that can be the trouble with things like you know, your group of friends or social media, or if you don't break yourself out like to get that third party objective opinion, is that you can find yourself in a vacuum. Right, and everybody's like, oh no, this is amazing, you should totally do this.
But that's right.
That said, and you might disagree with me on this point, I think there's something really worthwhile about failure, and I think that even sometimes, if somebody says, I don't think that's a good idea, shoot for it, go for it, I mean, maybe to a point, though?
Most successful people in the world have failed numerous times.
Yeah, true.
There's plenty of examples.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, about that. I always like that self-awareness or that honest accounting of, like, skills and weaknesses for yourself or pros and cons for your idea or your situation. Like, it's one of those things where sometimes all you have to get you through certain times in your life might just be faith in yourself or faith in your idea. But, like, we talk about episode after episode on the show is knowing when to reasonably when to cut bait and move on to the next idea is a
totally
good thing too.
Yeah.
And every business is risky.
Yeah.
So what I normally tell people is, you know, 1 in 5 will succeed. I hope you're the one that succeeds.
Right.
But I try to help them lessen their risk. So for instance, if they're working at a full-time job, as you said, keep your day job.
Yeah.
Try this nights and weekends and see how it goes. You know, a lot of businesses require full-time attention, but you know, everybody, I have to look at each individual person, see what entrepreneurial characteristics they have. Some people are great entrepreneurs. Some people are ready to start businesses and others aren't. You have to wear a lot of hats.
Yep.
You know, you don't have any money usually in the beginning, so you've got to market yourself and you've got to do all your own bookkeeping, which we don't recommend. And you've got to go out there and promote your business. And you also, if you are making a product, have to find time to make it. Or if you're offering a service, you're only one person. So depending on whether you're hiring, I mean, there's just so many things involved. And so we try to help lessen the risk. And sometimes we tell people, you know what, you're not ready yet, but let's, you know, then we've got tons of workshops where people can come out and see other people, like-minded people, entrepreneurs looking to start businesses, and we can teach you, you know, all the things you need to know. And some people say, you know what, this is too much work. I'm not ready.
Did you listen to that podcast I was telling you about? The one I just listened to? It was perfect timing.
Yeah. Homesteady is the podcast.
Yeah.
And the episode is something
How
like
to farm if you have little or no money.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And basically it talked about just about people who wanted to, like, you know, they decided that where they were at in their job, they had a great job that may have been making great money. It was segmented, but one guy was talking about being wealthy. So he started as ex-job, and he worked his way up the corporate ladder. And it's one of those things when you, the way he described his life, the arc of his career was, I started in an office, and I had to be hungry, and I had to be better than everybody else, because I needed to win my way up to the next level. And then he moved from Delaware to Chicago, and then, so when you move to Chicago, you get this promotion, you reward yourself with a better car and a better house. Then he moved up to Texas or wherever, bigger car, bigger house. And the thing was, is that his lifestyle always outpaced his salary, and then when you get to the top, there's only one CEO. So he ended up deciding that though he was making lots of money, he didn't feel wealthy, he felt stuck, and then talked about having a simpler life and things like that. And there's just a lot of really good points in that whole podcast talking about the one guy, he was a cop, and he wanted to start farming, and he wanted to start homesteading, basically growing his own food, raising his own animals, and he tried to quit cold turkey, failed miserably, had to go back to being a cop. But he never lost the passion for his hobby, and that's when he learned, he went to like a farming meeting, and all the farmers were talking about how gophers, and this sounds so silly, but it goes somewhere. Gophers were eating the crops and attacking the crops. And then he ended up, it wasn't what he was planning to do, but he ended up being, he bought this machine that was basically like a mobile gopher exterminator because he saw the need and ended up starting his own business. And it wasn't what his passion was or what his dream was, but it gave him that ability to now work for himself, not be in the corporate rat race anymore.
Yeah.
And now he earns enough money, but he has enough time to farm on his own.
You see, that's like, that's the way my old man started, was fixing computers in our garage, I remember. And like, he hosted a server in our garage forever and backed up like two or three people's data kind of thing. And then eventually it grew and grew and grew, and then he got one full-time client. And then there was that weird conversation, right, between, well, are we going to cut and run after this thing, or am I going to keep working and just do this as like a passion project? And I remember the big familial kind of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen here, but we're going to try it. And I think unless you're like maybe a tech startup in Silicon Valley, that's when you can afford to do the like, let's move on this right now. I need $2.5 million. It's like maybe an idea that's that provocative. But if you got a full-time job, anytime I hear that, like that somebody's just going to just quit and chase something almost for the sake of just chasing it, you're like, all right, man, hope you got some savings. Like, because it's hard out there, right? I mean, even when we started the bench, it was...
How long have you been here, by the way?
2 years.
Okay.
And it was the only thing like it. And... remains to be the only thing like it. And it, even that, like even what we would have called 2 years ago a captive market, where there was nothing like it, but we were a part of the community that we knew had a problem with that, because we had to go to Hamilton to go play games. We had to go to Hamilton to go play Warhammer. That guy behind you is from Oakville. You know, like, it just... So we knew that, but even knowing that, it was almost like a surefire thing came with risks, because there's risks associated with it.
Yes,
so let me ask you this then. How does somebody who's got a dynamite idea, maybe even a captive market, you know that the market exists, you have the product to solve the problem, and you can do so because let's say you've got a little nest egg and you can do it, you're essentially in the best way to get this on the go. What are some of the things you got to do to get the ball rolling?
Okay, difficult question. normally when I have someone come in and if they have sort of like a product or an invention, is that what you're referring to? Like something that where they're going to, like you said, they had some money, but a lot of times I get people coming in and they have maybe a prototype or an idea for a prototype. I normally send them to the Innovation Factory in Hamilton. The majority of the funding comes from, actually it's through McMaster University. They also have a Dragon's Den there. I think it's called Lion's Lair or something. And it is
proprietary, you gotta be careful. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, it is the coolest place to go. So the best part about it is they have these Lion's Lair, whatever they call them. It's like this show, right? But they have all these people go up, and they'll usually have like 20 people, and they get like 2 minutes to present their idea. and they've got the timer on the iPad, right? And they literally throw them off the stage after 2 minutes. So they get up there, and then we're in the audience, and we're the judges. There's also angel investors in the audience, right? These are people with loads of money that take 10% and figure, we'll throw it at somebody. We'll try it out on some invention. So the 20 people get up there, and they basically vote for first, second, and third. But there is an amazing opportunity to network. There are people in the audience, like if it's something that where you need a manufacturer, there's manufacturing companies that may be willing to take on if they love the idea, right? So that's one of the places I would send people to. There's also an awesome opportunity for anyone who's 18 to 39 who wants to borrow money. You can borrow up to $45,000 to start a business without equity, as long as you have a good credit rating and a viable business idea. And that's Futurepreneur. You can go to their website, futurepreneur.ca, no E in future. There's also Laurier Launchpad. I don't know, are you familiar with Laurier Launchpad?
Yeah.
So there's an innovation center as well, right here in good old downtown Brantford. I also have a lot of mentors in the city. I know a lot of people. I was a business person I used to own Domino's, so I was here for own Domino's for 23 years. So I know a lot of business people, so I can refer people, not necessarily in the same business, but someone that could provide them with some insight and some direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you've got a fork in the road from the very beginning, right? Either go and take all of those resources and services and put them to work for you, or you just kind of get in a canoe and start a paddling. You know, it's kind of, you don't normally see like a halfway, right? You see, in my experience anyway, you see people who kind of go out on their own and just say, screw it, I'm going to try it out. Or people that want to bounce off every possible resource, almost like little tiny insurance policies.
Or they try it 10 times.
Yeah.
And they try it 10 different ways. And they finally find the right way to make it work.
And that's a good example of where failure is beneficial for you. It's like, to bring it back to video games, you know, if you're playing a video game where you do something wrong and then you start back at the spawn point, you have to go again.
Yeah.
Every time you go in, with that previous failure in your brain. And then that way you're just that much stronger and smarter every time you go back to the drawing board at it.
Yeah, I mean,
at least that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes people continue to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
Expecting another outcome, and it just doesn't work.
The definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people like that.
I mean, like a micro example, we started with the idea of a board game cafe, and now we're much more hobby shop.
I gotta tell you, I love it. I love the atmosphere in here. Like, I was a little nervous, you know. I walked in and I thought, oh gosh, fish out of water here. And this is a cool place.
It's decent for sure. It gets a little rowdy sometimes. It just depends on what's going on. But, and it's funny too, like right now, for example. Like, listen to it.
Yeah, Jeremy gets right into this.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons happening. And you can tell, like, this is obviously some sort of session where there's action going on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if he was trying to create tension, he'd be all hush-hush, trying to tell them what's going on, but without, and then the big reveal comes. I don't know. It's,
Well, did you grow up with board games? Because I did. Like, that was...
Yeah.
Like, we had a cottage up north, and we only had two channels. And this is a long time ago. And so it was boring. There wasn't much else to do. So we got out the board games.
Yeah. I love board games. Even before you guys opened up, which was funny, because I didn't connect it in my brain, but my wife and I were with one of her coworkers and a couple other couples. I think there was eight of us all together with some rotating cast members. We'd get together every other Friday night and have Friday night game night. Before we started being friends again and hanging out, I was playing board games twice a week. And then I never even realized how much board games have been part of my life until I think back that I've been playing board games since I was playing Grape Escape as a grade one kid, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my family wasn't too terribly big into board games. I got into gaming through PC gaming and then later through Magic and Miniatures. My uncle played Warhammer Fantasy and bought me a little box of zombies. and like I painted them with like dollar store craft paints, just like basically green, red, green, zombie, red blood. But I got my eyes open to board games, and particularly the like indie sort of not mainstream Monopoly kind of board games through Curly, and just he'd go buy a board game and be like, hey, this is called House on Haunted Hill. Take this rule book into the other room. You're the bad guy. Oh, okay. You know, but RPGs, certainly. Dungeons & Dragons, I was just saying, I don't know if we did a debrief on that yet, but I introduced my son to like role-playing games. I built him a little sword and shield, and we went around the house slaying garbage bag spiders, stuff like that, trying to get him into it.
How old is your son?
3.5.
See, my grandson is 4, and this past weekend, I decided we were going to play some board games. So we started with the Game of Life.
Yeah.
If any of you played that game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
He didn't want to get married, and he didn't want to go to college, and he didn't want any kids in his car.
Smart kid.
And I was like, well, you have to get married.
Yeah.
And you have to go to college, or you have to go to work. And I said, all right, I'll go to work. but I don't want. And then they got twins. He didn't want twins.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't roll that one.
Nobody wants twins.
No,
come on.
One's enough.
But, you know, it's, you know, he could sit there and watch Scooby-Doo, but am I having any fun watching my grandson watch Scooby-Doo?
No.
I'd rather play board. So then, after that board game, he wanted to play another board game.
Sure.
So then I got out Monopoly.
Oh, and then the whole family isn't speaking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, but he's so competitive. Every move, am I winning? Am I winning, Grandma? Am I winning?
You know what? I just bought on Amazon. Do you remember Kerplunk?
Oh, yes. Oh, Kerplunk.
Yeah. I have
amazing.
Kerplunk. I have it, but it's not. It's something else. See, Kerplunk was with the alleys or the marbles.
Yeah.
Now they have a Kerplunk with the monkeys.
Oh,
so
really?
I have that one. I bought it for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you put all the sticks in, but the monkeys have hooks. So the monkeys
that's a neat
stay
idea.
Better than the marbles.
That's a neat idea.
So it's harder.
So it's like the Barrel of Monkeys. Monkeys. Remember the Barrel of Monkeys, and you had to like scoop
it's
your arms
the
up.
Same.
It should be called Kerplunky.
Yeah.
No, no, actually, I shouldn't.
Kerplunky.
That's terrible.
I like that.
No, it's not, Sue.
I'm coming to visit, Sue. I got an idea.
I just picked up Kerplunk because it's one of those games that it's fun enough that it'll keep him entertained, and it's got the big loud noise and all of the visual stimulus.
He also loves Mousetrap.
That's another good one.
Catching Mousetrap.
Hungry Hungry Hippos would be
a good
one.
Hungry Hungry Hippos.
We have
not
that
as
too.
Cool as an adult than you remember.
Because I could get insanely competitive with a 3.5-year-old.
I'll give you my copy of it if you want it. I have it at home.
I have all these games.
You know, I saw once...
I think it would only be fun as an adult if you were drunk. Because as a stone-sober adult playing with another stone-sober adult, I got real old real fast.
Maybe?
Maybe.
I suggest some scientific study on this. For science, of course.
Of course.
But Snakes and Ladders, he hated it. Because it's okay when you go up the ladder, but when you come down
not
the
fun.
Snake, not fun.
My wife is like that.
He
My wife is a full-fledged adult. I'd hope so. And when we
She's
play games,
a baby.
Yeah, you can always tell. You can always tell when it's like, you know, when you're playing a two-player game, one person has to win and one person has to lose. And I don't play unless I'm playing to win. And there's that one point, especially in Scrabble, and you're down to like the last 14 letters in the bag, and then it's just like nobody said a word in the last 35 minutes.
Okay, can we set the record straight on one thing here about Scrabble?
Sure.
Isn't it the worst when people use words like QI or like RO?
Okay, you just have to memorize all the two-letter words.
No, that's stupid. Right. And you say, use it in a sentence.
Chi.
My brother's the worst
for this. I got chi flowing through my body, son. QI.
And my brother, like, you'll see him kind of do this. Dip his head down. You know he's looking up two-letter words
cheating.
For Scrabble. And I'm like, use that in a word. He's like, the row was in the back of the truck. And I'm like, you can't give me
My
a
brother
break,
got
kid.
Mad when I played row.
Wow, that's a good one. You could totally say that.
Yeah.
Totally say that. So you guys are downtown. You know, when we first opened up here, I reached out to somebody or something.
Or something.
On Twitter.
It's at something.
It was like this downtown Brantford group or something like
BIA?
That.
BIA? Business Improvement Association?
Maybe.
Or was it just the Twitter handle, Downtown Brantford?
It could
we
have
love,
been.
Yeah, we love Downtown Brantford. That's how I learned about Batal Grocery.
It's I reached out to some sort of...
I visited them a couple of times.
Oh, I love that guy.
The samosas there are real.
That guy,
they're so
we
lovely.
Might be, I wouldn't say soulmates, but...
What kind of soulmates?
We're getting there. This is what I want in a business. So any Brantford business owner, if you want me to, I will just extol your virtues. If
good
I,
word, extol.
How many points is that worth in Scrabble?
Boom.
Eight for X. The rest are all ones.
Have you been to the kitchen?
Haven't been to the kitchen yet. Heard good things about
amazing
the kitchen.
Amazing food, the
but
kitchen.
What I love, hopefully not good sandwiches, though, because we don't want anyone cornering our market.
That's right.
I walk into Batal Grocery, and usually it's after work. I'm getting there. There's nobody in the place. The guy sees me and recognizes me, and he goes, you, come here. Takes me over and shows me all his vegetables. And he's like, I got bitter melon. And I know what bitter melon is, so I'm like, oh, I've had that before. His eyes just twinkle a little bit. He'll walk around the store with you, and every time I go there, like, you leave feeling good. And, oh, man, I love places like that. Little okay. Small businesses, I love places like that.
So,
you don't get that going to Subway.
If I can use your wording.
Use it.
If I may.
Do it.
If a small business in town wants you to extol their virtues, they have to show you their vegetables. Is that...
Just... Make it fun, man.
With a twinkle in their eye.
Yeah, I want your eye to twinkle when I walk. Just me. I don't care about anybody else. But when I walk in, I want eye twinkle.
So I reached out on Twitter to some sort of Downtown Brantford thing.
Okay.
And they said, you're not in Downtown Brantford. You're too far this away.
That's right. They've got it charted out.
You're on the wrong side of the tracks.
And I was like, oh, that's what it is then, right? All right, homeboy.
You're a little bit too far.
And ever since then, people were like, oh, are you in Downtown Brantford? Oh, no. We're not in Downtown Brantford.
To me, you seem like downtown.
I'm trying to keep it PC here, Sue.
Where would Uptown be?
I don't know. And then I found out that this block, like, the businesses right on this block here used to have a name for this block. I forget what it is. This was during the drama days of not being involved
a
in Downtown Brantford.
A good name or a bad name?
It was terrible.
Oh.
It was not terrible, but it was just didn't have the same oomph for chutzpah as Downtown Brantford. And I was like, ah, that's weak. Hmm. It was like Green Block or something. I don't know what it is. But so you guys are straight downtown. In the old Eaton's building...
Yes. It's actually owned by Laurier now.
I was going to say,
Is it really?
You said that with some pain.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Do you remember the good old days, going to the movie theater?
Oh, yes, son.
My grandma.
I used to go to the Ho King Chinese food place.
Oh, and there was a taco place.
No, it was Manchu Wok.
And there was Cultures place? For a while, and then they changed.
Great Canadian Bagel Company.
Yeah, there was all kinds of things down. Too bad. It's all gone.
Yep.
My grandma used to take me to the dollar store. In the Eaton's Mall.
Back when the dollar store items used to only cost a dollar.
Even better
a dollar
than that.
$1.07 with sales tax.
$1.08.
Oh, it was $1.08.
I used to get a $2 bill. I used to get a $2 bill from her.
Wow.
And then it was the argument, right? Because me and my brother have a $2 bill each. Are you going to get a cap gun or some candy? And I was like, well, I'll get the cap gun. You get the candy. He's my younger brother, so I'll eat your candy and not let you use the cap gun. This is a win-win for Bill. My first business decision right then and there. the Eaton's building, that's one of those weird ones, where it's kind of survived.
It's haunted.
Is it?
Oh, I'm going to need to hear about that.
By the ghost.
Nobody
of
just says
past.
It's haunted with that those kind of eyeballs, and you're just joking.
Yeah.
That was your way of getting it out there and, like, releasing the tension and stress a little bit. What have you seen, Sue?
It's been through a lot, that building.
I will cue the X-Files theme.
Mm. Is that good?
Do, 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 do.
So, you ask in a nerd store, how does the X-Files theme go again? I'm surprised.
Eight people turn around and harmonize.
I used to watch it all the time. I really did.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
I used to scare the crap out of me when I was a kid. We need you to go out and get some more wood for the wood stove. We're freezing to death tonight because there's aliens outside.
That was admittedly, like, when I, you know, when our son was first born, I was talking to my dad about being a dad. Like, you know, tell me how to do this and those kind of things. And he was like, so, you know, what did you think about me being your dad while you were growing up? I was like, if I can tell you one dramatic mistake you made. It was letting me watch The X-Files when I was not old enough to process the difference between, you know what
reality
one it was? Anybody that watched The X-Files, I don't know what episode it was. It was the one where there was like the sucker fish thing.
Oh no.
In the sewer, and it had like the, and the
sucker.
Holy crap, to this day. Yeah. If I even see it online or something, to this day, I gotta like eye bleach and look at
they
pictures of puppies.
They actually copied that from an old movie. There was a very old movie, and it was like he was a man, but he was just like that.
Yeah.
Like X-Files copied some
the
of those
creature
old
from the Black Lagoon.
That's it. Some of those old horror movies, X-Files copied some of that stuff.
They were just sampling. That's what P. Diddy calls it. He was just sampling the creature from the Black Lagoon.
P. Diddy.
I remember two episodes.
Is that
of
the last rap reference you have in your brain? That's the last.
Yeah. Yeah. Once he changed his name, I gave up.
Well, what about the guy who could break his bones and get through like a little tiny? He was scary.
I remember that one. And there's another guy who I used to always call Krychek, but I learned this wasn't Krychek. He was the weird like Ukrainian dude with like he had like a tower shield for a cheekbone, and his eyes would sometimes go black. He never said anything. He was like a hitman. I remember him. I remember someone having that little metal piece in their nose, and it would make their nose bleed. And I remember the first episode when they were running through the forest, because every time I went out to the garage to get little 8-year-old arms filled with logs to keep the house warm, that would happen in my mind. Never happened to me for real. But I thought it was gonna.
Did you like live in northern Russia or something?
Lived in Mount Pleasant.
Shooting stars scare you?
No.
No?
They're not real.
Oh.
They're just weather satellites. There's interdimensional vampires, Bill.
Oh man.
Are you familiar with a gentleman named Alex Jones? Good, keep it that way, because that guy's straight up crazy.
Oh, okay.
There is we both listen to a podcast. Do you know who Joe Rogan is? Oh, I'm about to shake your whole shit up, Sue. Joe Rogan is the guy that used to host Fear Factor.
Okay.
Okay, he's like the UFC guy now.
I didn't like Fear Factor. I didn't like them making people eat awful things.
God,
I could do anything else. But
nobody did.
Bill's like, oh, yeah, they made them eat awful things like
bugs.
Like Brussels sprouts and food that touched itself while cooking.
Okay, yeah, that could be.
I didn't mean it like that, no. I could have described that a little bit better.
Well, it used to come on at dinner time, right? So
yeah,
eating
no.
Dinner and it's like... Yeah.
Nobody needs to see that. Yeah. Joe Rogan is that guy,
yes.
And he's kind of a sleeper in the sense that he's like magnificently intelligent.
Really?
Oh, like incredibly intelligent. He has a podcast, and he has more monthly listeners than CNN has viewers, to give you an idea. Like, he's, like, wildly popular in internet circles. Anyways, he had this guy on last week by the name of Alex Jones. And Alex Jones is, like, I always say my favorite part of driving home from jiu-jitsu, or my favorite part of jiu-jitsu is two things. One, it's getting beat up because everybody needs to have that happen to them. And two is on the way home from jiu-jitsu, if you put on 6:40 a.m., right around this time, around 9 o'clock,
okay.
There's crazy people on it. They're all Trump-supporting, psychic alien-believing, like they have...
Reptile people.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They
just down the rabbit hole.
Fully gone, like George W. Bush is a reptilian overlord from Neptune, like they're gonzo, and it's the best thing ever to listen to. Anyways, he's not quite that far. He's actually, this Alex Jones character is relatively coherent, and he has a lot of good points, but it's mixed in with a whole lot of crazy. And like he's
made for an entertaining episode.
Talks about like black helicopters following him and stuff like so. He's got a lot of crazy mixed in with some actual knowledge.
Okay.
But the actual knowledge is like this little tiny bit, and there's like a whole bucket of crazy right on top of it. Anyways, he was on a Joe Rogan podcast, and everybody is super looking forward to it. And he ended up getting not even mildly, I would say like gratuitously intoxicated. And it like 2 hours in, he was shouting about interdimensional vampires who are empowering child molesters and like all this crazy stuff. And it cuts like it'll cut from this Alex Jones character who's like red in the face, sweating, and like the whole like yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And then cuts back over to Joe Rogan, who's just like, eyes wide. His eyes are so wide, his forehead's wrinkling, silently nodding.
Every time that comes on my podcast app, I skip it because I want to watch the video of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
want to
just hear it. I want to see it.
He gets so worked up. He, in the middle of sentences, he's taking his headphones off and putting them back on his head because he's that far. It's just almost entertaining to watch a man that's that, invested in his own brand of craziness. But that said, it's also 3 hours long, and it took me 5 days to watch that much. How did we get talking about Alex Jones?
We got into crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, X-Files and
X-Files.
Aliens. That's what it was.
Aliens, yeah.
In any case, are you a fan of horror movies?
I am.
You are? Because I kind of gathered that from the X-Files. So what kind of horror movies are you into?
Well, I love The Exorcist. Every single one of them.
I shouldn't even... I hate talking about this.
I have every single one of them.
Okay.
I recently started watching something on Netflix called Slasher.
Oh, I haven't. I've seen that come up, but I haven't watched that.
It's amazing. I loved Aliens. Sigourney Weaver. Amazing. But you know what? I got a little angry by the fourth one. Well, first of all, they killed her, which I didn't like.
Spoiler alert.
And it got a little silly. But I loved the first three. And they even made another one a couple years back that was supposed to, but it wasn't very good.
Alien versus Predator or something like that?
Have you ever watched a movie?
Oh, and Terminator. Love Terminator. Oh, my gosh.
Have you watched a movie called Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte?
Yes.
Is that... Now, I haven't seen it, but is that the scariest movie of all time?
Not the scariest for me.
Because my dad... you shuddered with The Exorcist.
I don't even like talking about
my
this.
Dad.
I don't even know why
my
I
dad
asked you
shudders
that.
Whenever Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte's mentioned. Because he said that's the scariest movie he's ever seen.
Scariest movie?
The Exorcist was one of my scariest. And Jaws, actually. The original Jaws. I actually jumped out of my seat, threw popcorn in somebody's face.
I'm glad
really?
You mentioned that.
At one point, yeah.
Because movies before they became just Texas Chainsaw Massacre, gore fest.
Because
that's...
I don't like those kind.
They're not scary.
They're not even scary.
They're
it's
uncomfortable.
Too much blood.
Yeah. They're their own genre. They're just gore movies.
You need the suspense.
That's what Jaws did, because Jaws built that tension, just like Halloween.
Like Black Christmas is another one.
There's
a few out there. Halloween, there was always suspense.
That's right.
Yeah, you need the suspense. You can't have the killing every 2 minutes. Yeah. I just turn it off.
There was one movie I watched. Normally when I watch scary movies like that, I don't get scared. I get scared about I don't know, I'll have a slight twinge in my jaw muscle and that'll scare the hell out of me, but horror movies don't do it for me. Real life is scarier than horror movies. But then we watched The Conjuring.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
And
ooh.
I could feel the nightmares. It was basically when you're watching a drink freeze and you see the crystals. That was the nightmares forming in my brain when we watched that.
That was so scary.
Oh,
I just remembered that I even watched it. I'd literally ejected that from my memory.
There was
what was the one with the woman, the girl that came down the stairs and she was all messed up.
Oh,
in
is that
hair.
The? Oh,
not the ring.
No, because as soon as you said
the
mangled
one
girl,
from, it was.
Is it down the in the basement or something like that?
Very scary. There's three of them.
Is that the one with the? She makes that.
Yes.
That noise.
That's
yeah.
It. My son. I watched that movie and my son would come behind me and make that noise.
Oh no. Oh. No way.
We scariest movie I've ever seen, and context is important. I watched, without having seen any of them, the first Paranormal Activity.
Oh, right.
And I watched it at night in a dark room with people who are very easily scared. You know, and so my wife saw about an eighth of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
talk about suspense. Nothing really happened.
I'll tell you.
It took so long, but when it did happen.
And that can only work one time, because that's the problem.
Oh,
you catch
exactly.
That lightning in a bottle, and it's because you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Aren't they on Paranormal Activity 11 or something?
It gotta
like
be.
That?
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, see, then it's not good anymore.
Last year I had laser surgery on my eyes, and before that I had...
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not too bad. It's a little scary.
they kept
playing.
Now
I'm going to put a needle into your eye, and you cannot move, or I will blind you.
The doctor's just holding Bill's face. He's like, don't worry, it'll be fine.
The worst part is the smell.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, now I know what the, I don't even know what that smells like, and I just smelt it.
It's a lot like rubber.
Yuck. Chew on that, internet.
I used to have really bad eyesight, and I think that's what caused. I used to have a really real fear of the dark. Even like as an adult.
I still do. I don't like basements.
Yeah. Okay, so like for example.
Other people's basements. I don't mind mine.
Yeah, you got home field advantage and you know there's nothing wrong there.
Even mine. Yeah. All the lights on, and when I'm leaving the basement, I shut the light off as I'm leaving the room so I don't have to. Oh, bottom of the stairs, as soon as that light's on, I can bound 4 steps at a time. Now, what I would say what added to that fear of the dark, and I'm getting way better now, that I think it had a lot to do with not being able to see my peripheral.
Yeah.
And it was like I would always have this like shroud of blur that I couldn't make out, and I think that's what played into it a lot. But it would be very worth your time to find somebody with a computer. I could probably arrange for this to happen for you to play Slender. Have you ever heard of Slender Man?
No.
He's like the mythos behind him is that he's a horror character, like Michael Myers.
Okay.
And he's based out of this game that came out maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
I'll get a picture up while you talk about it.
Oh, okay.
And it is bar none. And it's almost like it's ruined for you now because I've already told you about it. Because when I played it, you're supposed to introduce somebody to it without them ever having heard of it before. Basically, because I don't think you're probably going to play. You get plunked into a forest with a flashlight. And you have to go, the story goes, you're lost in the forest. And the only way to find yourself out of this forest is to find Slenderman's notes. And they're nailed to trees.
Okay.
That's what he looks like. I'm showing the picture of him standing holding like the little girl's hand in the forest.
He's rather tall.
And he's got no facial features.
Yeah.
And any horror movie that involves like 1800s-y style aesthetic and or little kids, I'm out.
So the premise behind it is, when you're walking around, Slenderman is always behind you. Always. When you turn around, he might not be there, but he's always watching. So, as you're going through the forest, sometimes your screen, in the corners of your screen, it'll kind of like fuzz out and like glitch out a little bit. And in your headphones, you hear this, ooh, 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 ooh. And then you turn around, not there, no sound, the glitch goes away. And it keeps on going, it keeps on, it's building, right? And then eventually, you know, he eventually catches you. And it's, from the time I played that game, my property at home is a real skinny property, but it's really long. It's kind of like they cut a hill into a bunch of slices, and so we got a slice of this hill. And the back of the hill is all woods. And it got to the point where, like, when I was letting my dog out at night, like, honest to God, I had a hard time with it. Because it was like, especially even worse than that, like, we have this hot tub that we positively never use. And
does it work?
Oh, yeah, it works. We just...
We don't use it.
It's just 3.5-year-old. I can never get in there.
You just turn the temperature down.
Yeah.
Make it like a pool.
Yeah,
we do that. It's just timing, I guess. I used to have to take my glasses off to get in there, right?
Yeah.
And the whole thing was at night. I can't see what's going on back there. And you just have that, like, ooh.
So, and you want to do this to me. Oh. So I'll be terrified.
Well, you said you like horror movies. Come on.
Okay.
You must like being scared on some
I guess I do.
Primal level.
On some.
You know, it's. I think we all do, right?
That's why everybody goes to those movies, right?
But
my wife loves scary movies.
A lot of people don't like them. Like, I don't really have too many friends that like scary movies. If I want to go to a scary movie, I go by myself.
I used to.
Oh, you go to a scary movie by... How do you walk back to your car? How would
Matinee.
You do that alone?
Matinee.
Yeah. Matinee.
It's a solid, like, noon.
Just, like,
go watch.
Hook a crowbar on the inside of your leg just in case.
I keep my keys between my fingers.
Wow, you're a savage.
And I run to my car.
I
would have to run. I don't see any way around that. And like once you get in there, be playing like Fred Penner, like The Elephant Show or something, just to like ear bleach. Get it out of your brain, man.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember being homesick. And usually when you're homesick, you watch Maury Povich, The Price is Right, maybe Jenny Jones. That was back in the day. But one day, I was in kindergarten, and my mom played...
This is how you know it got burned into your psyche.
Oh, yeah. She played Nightmare on Elm Street. And that was my indoctrination.
You know what? Those ones did bother me. Mm-hmm. Because even... So they couldn't go to sleep? Was that it?
Oh, my God.
In their dreams?
I just remembered bar none scariest moment in a movie ever in my life. And it actually touched my soul a little bit.
Look how postured up you are.
Holy.
Okay.
Have you guys ever watched Poltergeist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So other than that...
That lady's voice who talks like this is so creepy.
But there's one point where, like, they're in, like, the other dimension... And then, like, that little girl is sitting there. She's called. This is how I remember it. It may not exactly be like this.
She died in real life.
She did. That whole movie was like.
That whole movie was cursed. Anyway, what happened?
Okay, we're going to come back to that.
Okay, we'll
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get that up. You could look that up on there.
I don't want to look that up. Not on my computer.
They're like in another dimension or something like that. And she's calling to her dad. And she's like, Daddy, Daddy. And then she's like. And that's like kid stuff with kids. Creeps me out. Fuck, I can't even talk.
And you're going to have one.
I know.
It's in a dark place
now. And if the films, like if my pictures on the wall start moving, I'll just live in the
woods. Did you get one of those baby monitors that's video?
Sure did.
I told you not to.
I didn't buy it.
It's a matter of time before he wakes
those.
Up.
We never had those. Our kids survived.
Before he wakes up and that kid's looking in the monitor.
Hi, Daddy.
No, I'm going to tie him down. I'm going to strap him down to the bed. Down. So he can't.
Anyways, other dimensions.
Okay, you're telling the world this. Be careful.
She's in the other. Yeah.
That's the least of what
she's in another dimension, and then she's calling out to her dad, and then she like so the camera's panning around in a circle while all this weird other dimension-y stuff is happening, yeah. And then her face starts to turn into like a ghoul.
Yeah, it warps.
Oh, her face warps all weird and goes all green, and then she's like, "Daddy," and I'm just like, I remember that, and it's just like, even years later, I haven't seen that in 25 years, easy. And
so,
it scares me.
And you're still scared. I remember the name of that movie, The Grunge.
That's totally it. Oh, yeah, you're totally
right.
That is it. That has the
I couldn't
one with
watch
the,
it without people.
The where they're going up the elevator, right? And it was going like, and coming closer and closer.
The thing that scared me about that movie, it wasn't like traditional horror movies where you can... run away from it because this thing would just appear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't like that because I always would get angry at horror movies where they just stood there and got killed. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I'd like them to put up a fight and why they'd always go downstairs by themselves. Like, I would never do that.
Oh, stupid.
Like,
stupid.
Or go on their own.
Get a gun.
Stay in a group.
Oh, nobody's ever tried shooting these things.
And then when you hit them on the head, cut the head off because they always get up again.
Yeah. I know.
It drives me nuts. Just really
Here's
kill
this
them.
Guy I've been running away from for the last 2.5
so
hours.
So I'm going to hit him on the head with a hammer and then I'm going to sit there and then I'm going to turn my back to him. And then he's going to get up and come after me again.
My wife and I love watching like action movies, like 90s action movies or like the Bourne series. But there's one thing about it, it's just what you described, that drives me up the wall. I'll ruin the movie for everyone else around me. So the one dude's chasing after Jason Bourne and drives a bloody like...
First of all, this could be a friendship-ending conversation.
I'm prepared.
Continue.
Okay. So he drives this like armored truck through 98% of the square footage of Las Vegas or wherever. And his
Correct.
His life mission has been to kill Jason Bourne.
Correct.
And then he like shoots him or whatever. This I'm just paraphrasing this. This isn't what actually happens. The guy that his entire life has been leading up to the moment of killing, he shoots him and then he goes on this like 15-minute monologue just long enough for the guy's partner to come running out and gets him like in the back of the head. It's like if you had just talked like 3 words per minute quicker, you could have had your soliloquy and still shot the guy. But instead it's just like, I'm gonna sit here just long enough for the SWAT team to get into position. It ruined the movie for me. Oh, I hate that. Finish him off.
Okay, so what happened to this little girl?
She died. So the movie.
Don't
was
look that
plagued.
Up. I don't want to see it.
No, I'm looking up the picture.
I don't want to see. That's what I just said. I don't want
to
see it.
I'm not going to show it to you.
The movie was plagued by all kinds of very mysterious things. Like there was trouble with the set. Like pieces of the set came down and injured people.
Mm-hmm.
She died after the movie, and the other girl was also killed.
She got like an infection
she
or
got
something
an infection.
Like that?
It was odd. It was just weird. Like yeah. She went into the hospital and she was seemed to be okay and she died. And then the other girl.
Like the older sister.
I shouldn't
sister.
Be finding out about this stuff.
Yeah. Same with Exorcist. Like,
yeah, but I'm going to tell you.
Exorcist had some issues as well.
Really, eh?
Yeah. There were people that went to church after watching that movie and never had been religious. Like it was one of the scariest all-time. In fact, there is actually I've Googled it, the scariest all-time movie. Movies,
sure.
Yeah. Top 20. I've yeah. watched them all.
Oh, yeah?
Watched them all.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, this is not the picture of that girl. This is.
If it is?
It's not. Is it the picture of the girl?
No. Oh, that's a scary guy.
Okay.
I don't like him.
It's just an innocuous photo of an older gentleman that
I will strangle you until you're unconscious.
I will shake your hand that I'm not showing you anything scary.
Okay, I think that's the first threat I've issued on this podcast since I started jiu-jitsu.
So this is like the bad guy, and he's just a creepy old man.
Yeah.
But this is the bad guy.
Oh, he's definitely creepy.
Look
creepy.
At that
Look at
face.
Teeth. The teeth are creepy.
For sure, right? That's and his eyeballs. He's got ratty little eyes.
Oh.
I think I'm more afraid of an old scary man than a little girl.
I couldn't watch that movie again.
I don't know about all that.
I couldn't watch that movie again. Oh, this okay. This isn't the scene. This is like the start of that scene, I think. And her face gets all weird. I have to look that up, even though it's gonna keep me up for the next 8 weeks.
Okay, we have 10 minutes left.
Oh God!
And a very, you know what? I would hazard to say critical, monumental, maybe even mandatory topic to get to.
Okay.
That is the topic of flavors of Doritos.
Oh yeah, we did promise people last week.
Yeah. Oh, can we settle something right now, Sue?
Sure.
I have a very important question before. It's as important as Dorito flavors. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not an actual. If you were stuck in a situation where you had to make the decision between these two items, and you had to, there's no opting out.
Oh yes.
Okay, and I'm not even going to bait you and tell you which one's better.
Wait, man, we're talking about Doritos?
No,
close to it though.
Two bowls in front of you.
Okay.
Are you going to reach into the bowl that's filled with M&Ms or Smarties?
How long do I have to think about this?
You have until the end of the podcast. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll come back at the end. Oh, I can't find the face warp.
All right, tell me what your little bracket is here.
Okay, so last time we did
that was condescending. I didn't mean to say it like that.
Yeah, my little bracket. Yeah. Actually, they are little brackets. It's four little brackets. So I've set this five. I've set this up March Madness style, and maybe we can do it as a group discussion. So that question that Bill asked you is a huge bone of contention between us. So, but again, I won't make you go one way or the other.
Bone of contention, man. You're just
okay.
I know. I haven't been using my brain for like mathematical equations all week, so I have like linguistics up here.
I got words in my brain.
I didn't realize that a professional adult would be reading this, so I scratched this out in my like chicken scratches here.
Am I the professional adult?
We clearly are not.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
We may not even qualify as adults, but
we set the bar pretty low, Sue.
Okay.
So we said to our listeners we were going to come prepared. That's another thing we also don't do is follow through on the things we say we're going to do. But we're going to come prepared with our brackets about what the predominant flavor of Doritos with the best flavor is. So I've set them up just off the website, and then we'll determine this as a group. So what we'll do, March Madness style, I've got them bracketed up. And then we'll see who the winner is.
I've been being really good about my use of derogatory language, and this is going to bring out the sailor in me.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Go. What's our first option here?
Okay, so we have... Now, this one is a pretty easy one. We have ketchup. Have you had all these flavors, by the way, Doritos?
I don't need to have all those. The first two don't even matter.
Okay, Bill's like, is there original? I don't know what it is, but is there original?
I think the only one I haven't had is... Does that say roulette?
Yes. So it's like...
That's a flavor?
There's like habanero ones in there, then original ones, and then spicy ones. Okay. And there's probably a quarter of a habanero one in there because I think the original nacho is spicier than roulette. Just make a bag of just the hot ones.
Okay, I've had most of these.
All right.
Okay, so our first option.
So we've got ketchup versus zesty pickle.
Ketchup all day.
Ketchup.
Yeah, that's a...
Not into the
Who wants a zesty pickle?
And it doesn't taste like a pickle. It tastes like kind of a funny pickle.
Yeah,
weird.
That's like whoever made artificial banana flavor.
Now we're food critics. It tastes more like a funny pickle.
Yeah, it's not a zesty pickle.
You know what? I agree, Sue.
They should change zesty like pickle to funny pickle.
Let's write them.
So and then we have roulette. So roulette, like I said, is it's like habanero ones. spicy ones and then plain ones. So okay. That way you don't know what one you're going to get, except they're all different colors.
Okay.
So, and then we have spicy nacho. So that's the one in the red bag. I take spicy nacho over roulette because it's just disappointing.
I would take spicy nacho, but only a quarter of a bag.
I take roulette because I like the idea that I can get different types of chips out of one bag.
You see, you swayed me just with that one line. I'm not married to either one of those. I'll go with roulette.
Like, I don't always want spicy the whole time. I want sort
see,
of
but I true. Do, though. Because they don't have just the habanero ones, I will actually switch. I'll flip-flop over to roulette.
I agree.
That's okay.
Curly and I used to do this thing that we used to call a cluster bomb, where we'd go and buy four or five different bags of Doritos, put it in one big bowl, and shake it up. And so it was like four different flavors in one big bowl.
I thought you were going to blow them up.
No, no. Good idea, though. Valid, valid idea. Yeah.
Jalapeno. Okay, this is tough for me. Jalapeno versus barbecue.
Barbecue.
I got to go with barbecue. The purple bag versus the dark green bag.
I find jalapeno sometimes it's just too spicy. And I like spicy. But.
I like the flavor of barbecue.
Yeah.
It's tasty.
I do, too. I just don't like the aftertaste of nacho. I like barbecue taste when it's a chip, but not when it's a corn chip. But we'll go barbecue because it's majority rules here. That makes sense.
Okay.
No, that's democracy in action.
I was
going to
say,
here,
like, this is very Canadian here.
Yeah.
If it were American, we already would have shot each other. We still wouldn't have funny pickle or ketchup.
Oh, one
chosen.
Of these is going to have to get a bye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we'll do a three-way battle at the end.
Okay.
Nacho versus Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch.
Positively not. Nacho.
Yeah.
Nacho is...
Nacho is going right to the end for Bill. Is there a plane?
Without question. I'm going to tell you a little recipe, okay? Here's a recipe out of the book of Bill.
Bag of nacho Doritos.
Nacho Doritos. Frank's Red Hot Sauce. Apply Frank's Red Hot Sauce to said Dorito.
But now
consume.
You got soggy Doritos.
No, you don't. Because if you eat it right away, you don't put it on the plate and put it on there. I'm talking about...
Who eats chips off a plate? do they serve
I
that?
Do.
They serve that
I
on the.
I eat them in a bowl.
Yeah, in a bowl for sure. You're a savage.
Don't okay. like them out of the bag.
I'm going Cool Ranch.
You're going Cool Ranch in
cool
the face
ranch,
of the.
Cool Ranch.
In the, you can chant all you want, Sue. It's not going to make your argument any stronger.
Bill will walk into a grocery store. Excuse me, sir. Do you have plain Lay's chips? In fact, I will take the lightly salted version because
the
original
the
ones
sees
are
far
too
salty.
Those are delicious.
Salty. You're the guy that sees all the new designs for the Canadian flag on Facebook, and you're like, hey, it's better than the original. We've had the original for so long, let's use something that's... Cool Ranch is stupid.
I can tell
you. No, that's my argument. Cool Ranch is stupid.
That's always the argument of the defeated person.
Okay, we could change the name.
Cool Ranch smells like butts.
It could.
He doesn't like Cool Ranch.
It's still going on there because it's 2-1.
Cool okay. Ranch, whatever.
Sweet Chili Heat
How
versus Zesty
you.
Cheese. The How orange bag.
Orange bag over everything.
Absolutely. Okay. I stopped myself halfway through. Absolutely not. Because 2 weeks ago, I ate those right before the podcast. They were 3 months expired. So that could have been the reason they tasted gross. They're too cheesy.
I never said he was smart. Listen.
That's a tough one.
You're going to eat these bags. You're going to eat enough of them so that they coat these three fingers with flavor. And only a savage wipes their fingers off after they've got that delicious nectar on the tips of their fingers.
That's right.
You're going to lick that stuff off. What's it going to be from? Zesty cheese. That's the argument. That's the best one to lick off your fingers.
I think zesty cheese.
You're darn right, Sue.
I'll let you go with zesty cheese. Well, I won't let you, but I'll write it down. I have the marker. But the thing with Sweet Chili Heat was, and that used to be my number one.
Yeah.
But then they have that weird, like...
For sure they do.
That, like, artificial sweetener. And it's like, can you just stop putting Splenda in everything, for Christ's sakes? Eat some sugar. All right.
All right. So are we doing a buy or are we doing a three-way?
No. Because you believe in zesty cheese all the way, I'll give zesty cheese the bye to the finals. All
right,
because it's going to lose against whatever we decide in these two
listen,
ones.
Listen, I got news for you. Okay. All right, what's next choice
we got
choice
ketchup
here?
Versus roulette.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with ketchup. I'm going with ketchup on that one.
Okay.
Ketchup.
Can we do a... Okay, fine, yeah. I was going to say scenario-based would be roulette is watching a movie, ketchup is on a summer day. Yodel it. Ketchup
okay.
all day.
Ketchup is good. I'm a fan of that one.
I want chips real bad.
I know, me too. My two favorite flavors of chips.
Do you not have like samples of all these? So that is that not the prize? For
real bad. Is it? No, no. There's no prize, Sue.
We always have chips for return guests.
The prize is
we have to bribe them.
Spending one whole hour with the two of us. It's my company and everlasting
no
knowledge.
Okay. Barbecue versus Cool Ranch. She's like, I thought I was going to have like a professional discussion about my, you know,
we did for like 6 whole minutes.
We talked about it. But if anyone has any questions or wants to know about the grant program, just come and see me.
I'm straight up. I actually am because I have just awesome ideas.
Open up the floodgates there, didn't you, Sue?
The one thing I would like to say while we're thinking about this is the summer company program is the one that I'm promoting.
Sandwich shop.
It just opened up. Summercompany.ca. You can apply for a $3,000 grant if you're in school, returning to school, 15 to 29, and you want to run a summer company.
I'm not returning to school, and I'm 31 years old.
That's
we're still going to open up.
That's fine.
Yes. We're still.
I'm triggered personally.
It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be like.
Yeah.
You know,
why'd you have to go and make things so complicated, Bill? Box folding.
Graphic designer.
Cool.
Websites.
Toothpaste sampler.
Tutoring people on how to do gaming, like how teach them games. There'd be a summer company.
I'm going to show you how.
Abhorrently disagree with that last statement because that would be our direct competition. So don't.
Oh, sorry.
You know what? No one who opens up a game store is going to win. Barbecue versus Cool Ranch.
Barbecue versus Cool Ranch.
I'm ready to write three letters.
Yeah. I'm going with barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Jeez. Yeah. This is surprisingly agreeable.
Oh, and this one's easy.
Zesty cheese, we'll give it the bye.
Yeah, obviously.
Ketchup versus barbecue. Now, these are two heavy hitters.
No, barbecue all day.
I say barbecue as well, but ketchup's good.
Barbecue's got flavor. Ketchup is barbecue sauce for little kids.
Yeah.
Argument complete.
The only
and
thing
what do you
barbecue,
put on all your food?
Shut up.
Barbecue sauce or ketchup?
I can eat more ketchup than I can eat barbecue, but I like them both.
Yeah.
It's just that after a while, the barbecue gets to you.
You know what this is?
If we're talking eating half a bag.
A whole bag. Oh, yeah. All right.
If we're talking half a bag.
The whole bag.
Half a bag.
Yeah. If we're talking half bag, I vote barbecue. If I'm like eating a bag of chips for dinner because I hate myself that day, then I'm going ketchup. That's one of those ones where you get about... This is when you've had a sad day,
yeah.
And just like the world's on you, and you're like, I'm just going to have a couple chips. And then you're down to about the last third, and you make that decision. You're like, yeah, I'm probably going to have diarrhea later, but this is going to make me feel good right now.
They don't make family-sized bags of chips for people who share them with their families.
No, they
don't.
No.
Anytime I've
ever... You open
ever
them up, it's half empty.
Yes, exactly.
And we're not even... And we haven't talked about dip yet. I actually like... Dipping like
you dip flavored chips? You're a renegade.
I just get some nachos and put Frank's Red Hot on them. Off my plate. Sue, do you keep your dip in a plate?
A bowl, actually.
Someone get me my level. I need to sit perfectly neutral.
Hell of a lot of dip. It's amazing.
That is actually real good.
Just about anything.
I put that on potatoes. I put that on chicken.
Cheese.
Whatever.
I actually dip cheese in it. Crackers.
Just okay,
that
before we get to the next piece, can we all and I think we all can agree, if it didn't matter what you ate, you got your entire nutrient profile from it. Would there be any other food besides crackers and cheese?
No. Well put. Yeah. No.
Like you don't need anything else.
That's my go-to food.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah, come home for a snack. I'm hungry.
Guess who's stopping at Metro tonight?
Crackers, cheese, little calabaza. What do we got for barbecue or ketchup?
Barbecue.
I'm saying barbecue all day.
I'll go barbecue as well.
Barbecue.
Zesty cheese. It's been a great episode, everybody.
So that we technically have just crowned barbecue the winner because zesty cheese is only there as like the write-in candidate. Okay, so we have barbecue and ketchup, which are basically like... Well, I don't want to say like Hillary and Trump, but the only people that anyone would have voted because they felt like if they voted for zesty cheese, they'd just be throwing their vote away. I think the second half of that sentiment is true. Voting for zesty cheese is basically like voting for Ron Paul or something like that.
You have horrible taste, so you do not get a say in this particular discussion. Sue?
What's the question?
The question
barbecue or zesty cheese?
Oh,
come on, Sue, keep up.
I'm going with zesty cheese.
Are you
zesty cheese for the
win? Are you kidding me? Thank you, Soup. I think he coerced. No,
it doesn't matter what you think.
Okay, no, that this. Okay, not only does that not matter because the wrong answer was achieved, the only question that matters is M&M's or Smarties?
M&M's.
Finally!
Well, Sue.
It's taken us 130 episodes to finally have a smart guest. I think that's literally the first person who's ever said M&M's over Smarties.
I don't really like Smarties.
You shouldn't because they're disgusting. I don't care how Canadian they are.
That's fine. It's got nothing to do with patriotism, bro. See the eyebrows on that one? Come right down into my monkey brain there. Sue, you had me right up until...
She picked zesty cheese. Very, very,
listen,
very politic.
You guys both voted for Cool Ranch. You both voted for M&M's. It's clear, abundantly clear, that you are both fans of Halloween candy traditionally eaten by 76-year-old people.
I have 3 Werther's Originals in my coat pocket right now.
Werther's Original.
Ugh. You like candy corn, don't you?
Hold on a minute.
Did you just knock Werther's Originals?
How are you going to tell me about Werther's Originals?
Because I'm not Wilford Brimley and I don't have diabetes.
Oh, man, Sue. I should have warned you.
This has been fun. I need to go home and buy some Doritos.
I know. We're all going to see each other in the grocery store.
I'm going to hit Metro.
Oh, hey.
Love it. 24/7. It's
quarter after 9. Sue's just got to decompress.
And you know what's going to happen?
A lot of
all
shouting.
The zesty cheese are going to be gone.
Bill's just going to be mainlining them. Just crumbling them all up. Dude, would Doritos melt if you like
get
lit a
me.
Spoon on
them? They probably would. I don't want to think about it.
You could blow them up. Remember we were talking about that?
Yeah.
Probably. My name's Bill, otherwise known as a whole bunch of crap online. Go find us at thedevilsbench.com or on social media if you're still on that junk. Who are you?
I am quite happy that I finally won the M&M's vs. Smarty battle. And, yeah.
Sue, if people want to get a hold of you or your place of temporary residence through the week and during business hours, how could they go about doing that?
Best way to reach me is S, as in Sam, or Sue, Loveless, at brantford.ca.
Wow.
Got one of those Brantford domain
emails.
Easy
to remember. Yeah, oh, no. I know. I felt so important the first day I got to work
Flubless.
And I had that email.
Email Loveless at brantford.ca.
Yeah, that's easy. It's Loveless.
If you ever wanted help with your personal brand online, this is the guy right here, Loveless.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Loveless. Also on, I believe it's March 16th.
When are you coming to do your presentation?
I think it's March 16th.
I think it's March 16th.
You haven't canceled them already?
Or 17th. I thought it was the 17th.
Whole bunch of time between now and then.
We have an exciting guest speaker coming.
I'm going to post a whole bunch
of
crap.
We need the movie talk for this. Can you do it?
Yes, do it.
One man. One topic. Not really, though, because he's going to probably trail off into a whole bunch of crap. You thought you were safe when
not.
You opened that email.
Listen, folks, I'm going to be doing a talk, and I'll tell you all about it later when it's more prevalent and you'll actually remember, you savages. But it's going to be on like PC security and don't click on stuff. Listen, if you just want to skip the whole thing, quit clicking on things. That's the whole point of the thing.
Oh, and there'll be snacks.
Doritos.
Actually,
and
M&M's. Doritos.
Obviously, we're
we'll
doing Doritos.
We'll have a combination of Doritos and we will ask all the guests to evaluate.
Yeah, we need to take this to the streets.
What their favorite Dorito is. And we'll have Smarties and M&M's.
We'll do a cluster
but don't
bomb.
Have, don't have Smarties.
No Smarties?
Yeah.
No Smarties.
Only the
better
ones.
Be Smarties in my green room. You guys have a green room. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go do a talk on PC security and junk. So if you haven't had enough listening to me ramble about privacy and why you should be afraid of the internet here, you can come out and do it there in person. Otherwise,
I'm doing a talk on bringing track pants back because they're quite comfortable. I went out in public in track pants today. I haven't done that since I was 9 years old.
I want disco back.
We could bring that back too. You could probably disco dance.
And you could wear
well
your sweatpants.
Yeah.
Or track pants. Pants or sweatpants?
I think it's like a Chesterfield couch type scenario.
Here you go. Well, why don't you guys talk about it at your M&M party?
You probably will.
And, you know, next week, I think Marissa's going to be on if I can actually get in here and record this thing and not work for once in my life. As well, we have like a shaman guy coming in to talk about ayahuasca and hallucinogenics and all sorts of crazy stuff that he's into. He's going down to the rainforest to go on a spiritual journey, and I'm going to be like, what's that about?
With the Slender Man?
Yeah. Oh, we better not tell him about that.
Yeah. We're going to implant that into his mind like Inception.
Internet, it's been an absolute slice. Be nice to each other. Seriously, though, buy a coffee for the person in line behind you. Tired of telling you people that. Have a nice week.